We want to begin. Let me open up in prayer. Father, in the authority of Jesus' name, I thank you for the mantle of your grace and your power that is released here today. I thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing among us. Father, I thank you for your quickening spirit. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us. And so, Lord, we step into the provision, the promises, and the power that has been promised to us because Jesus, you rose from the dead. So I want to thank you for your grace and your goodness here today. I ask right now that every mind and heart would be bound to the truth of your word here today. In Jesus' name, have your way, King. Have your way, King Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I want to go ahead. You know, David handed me his notes last night about 7 o'clock. This is what you call being instant in season and out of season. But you know, I love it. I love the word. I love ministry. There's only one thing I ever wanted to do all my life since I was a little girl. And that's the ministry. My mom said I used to cry when I couldn't go to church. And I'm still that way. If I can't go to church, I'm just so sad. I need to be in church. You know, when I'm not going to church, I'm going to church. When I'm not going to church, I'm planning on the next church meeting I want to go to. I love the things of God. I love the family of God. And I love the ministry. And I love you. And so David handed me his notes about 7 o'clock last night. He's like, honey, I'm just not going to make it. He let me know earlier in the afternoon, actually, and I said, well, send me your notes, let me see what you've got, and I'll build upon that and make it my own. How many of you know marriage is a wonderful thing? You build upon each other and you make it your own. Amen? So that's what I did. So I'm going to just go ahead and release this. And what this is we're covering what's called the prayers of Paul. What's happening is all the churches in the many of the churches in the area, I think about 8 of us, are getting together, and we're all getting together and preaching about prayer. We're all covering prayer for 4 weeks. And then March 1st, mark this down, March 1st, the churches are going to gather together at Chapel of the Hills at 6 o'clock. Can you say March 1st at 6 o'clock? This scares the hell out of the enemy. Yes. Churches working together, really? Because when 2 agree is touching anything that they ask, it'll be done. What happens now when you have hundreds of Christians from other churches working together to pray and to believe God for this region? It is so scary. This is what Satan has been so afraid of. This is why he tries to divide the church, try to divide the churches. Because if we'll get together in prayer, if we actually will agree, God is going to do something incredible on this mountain. Do you hear me? And throughout the entire San Fernando Valley. And so let's talk about what is spiritual power? How do we get power? And how does it work through us? When are we empowered to use it? Oh my goodness. Let's talk about the prayers of Paul. David wanted to cover the prayers of Paul. He felt like that was so important. And then I, of course, just added to it and took it into some new directions. But the Apostle Paul was an incredible apostle. He wrote over 1/2 of the New Testament. He was a fearless witness of Christ in presenting the gospel to the Jews and Gentiles. You know, Paul didn't mess around. If you read some of his stuff, it's like, oh my gosh, this guy is scary. And then afterwards, he's like, well, the Lord didn't say this. I'm saying this really actually myself. Yeah. You're like, oh my goodness, really? Tell us how you really feel. You know, if you are hearing God, then you're here, then you need to be listening to what I'm saying, right? And then later on, he's like, well, I was just saying that myself, but you know, the Lord will talk to you about your own thing, whatever. And he was just kind of scary, but you know, he had to be that way because of what he went through in life. How many of you know, notice people, there's certain ones, they've got a little bit of a bristle edge to them, but you know, you don't know what God has had them walk through. true, right? And so the Apostle Paul was an amazing man, wrote over one half of the New Testament. He did great signs and wonders to confirm the gospel. And this isn't in the notes. Oh, by the way, I did bring about 55 sets of notes, and so most of them are in the back if y'all want to take these notes home with you. And there's three of them up here if anybody wants them, but so if you want to follow along. But the Apostle Paul was an amazing man of God, and there's an impartation in the prayers that he prayed. How many of you can say there's an impartation in the prayers that he prayed? I was looking up his prayers last night, and they are so powerful. The Bible says that he never stopped praying. He was always praying for the saints. He'd pray for them to have grace. He'd prayed for them to have unity. He prayed for them to be aware of the wiles of the devil. He prayed for them to give their life a living sacrifice to God. He was always praying for the maturity of the saints. He, in fact, the Bible says that he carried the care of it constantly, day and night. He was amazing. And so he did great signs and wonders to confirm the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 2:4, this wasn't on my original notes, but he said that my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. This is what we call the full gospel. It's not just words. It's not just theology. It's not just doctrine. It's not just words written in black and white on paper. It is the living, breathing word of God that God will back with signs and wonders following. Amen. He said, these signs will follow those that believe. You're going to raise the dead, cast out demons, take up serpents. If you drink anything deadly, it's not going to hurt you. There's a demonstration. There's a demonstration to the gospel. And if there's not a demonstration in your life, then you need to be seeking the Lord and finding out why there isn't. Because there should be a trail of miracles everywhere you go. He said, if I cast out demons, then truly the kingdom of God has come unto you. He said, go raise the dead. Hallelujah. You know, just go raise a few dead folk. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, and go raise the dead. Seriously, the demonstration of the gospel should be evident in every believer's life, because he said they'll follow you. So you should have a trail of miracles everywhere you go. Amen. Be intentional about it. Don't get comfortable, okay, with the four spiritual laws. And, you know, there should be an invitation. Hey, I see you're you know, you've got a limp. Can I pray for you? Let's watch and see what the Lord does. Some of the easiest things you'll ever see. Let's watch and see what the Lord does. That way it's not on you. You know, Catherine Coleman floating across Walmart, you know. No, let's watch and see what the Lord does. You know, it's all on him. Amen. Amen. So it's really powerful just to move with God this way. The Bible says the power that he operated in was so extraordinary that in Acts 19:11, God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and evil spirits went out. He carried such a powerful anointing. You ever met people like that? They're just clothed in Jesus. And that anointing will get near you and you're like, oh my goodness, don't stand too close to me. I got to drive after this, right? You're going to knock me over here, right? But the truth is, regarding the spiritual power that Paul walked in, it's important that you know that the reason why his prayers were so powerful was because of the life that he had lived. He had to learn to live an overcoming lifestyle because of the trials that he went through. He suffered a number of trials. So when we study these prayers, it's important to realize how much he endured. Can you say endured?
Endured.
Endured. Endured. We know endurance, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But you know, even in that place where you're enduring, God will teach you to enjoy it. He will teach you to enjoy the journey while you're enduring. Amen. So how much he endured for the sake of cross, in for the sake of Christ. There's a story in Acts 9:10 when, you know, the Bible says that the Apostle Paul was breathing out threats to the church. He was used by the government to kill, we don't even know how many women, children, and men who were Christians. He was horrible. And in fact, he was so demonized that it says in verse 1, he was breathing out threatenings. Can you imagine somebody so demonized? He was just breathing out threats constantly. We don't know how many children he killed, how many women, how many husbands, how many men he killed. We don't know. Just because they spoke the name of Jesus. You know, the world, they'll let you get by with some things. But oh, when you speak the name of Jesus. You know, Acts 4 talks about when they were thrown in jail, when Peter was thrown in jail, and they said, "We will release you from jail. Just don't ever speak the name of Jesus." And you know, you can speak the name of just about every other thing on the planet, and you can get by with it. But when you speak the name of Jesus, all hell just trembles and heaven stands at attention. Amen. The most powerful name, the most powerful word that will ever come out of your lips is the name of Jesus. Amen. And so it says in Acts 9, he was breathing out threatenings. Well, it turns out that he was going along the road there in Damascus, and a great light shone in front of him, and he had a vision of Jesus, and Jesus was like, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard to kick against the pricks? Is it hard to kick against thorns?" Because that's what's happening here. You're getting hurt, dude. You need to stop it. And the people around him, they heard the voice, but they didn't see the light. They heard it. Can you imagine? They heard this voice. And he's like, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting," right? And blindness came upon him. And so then the Lord, in a vision later, told Ananias, he said, the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man named Saul, because he's praying." I'd be praying too. Okay. So anyway. "And he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon your name.' But the Lord said to him," this is what I want you to catch, "'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.'" Hallelujah. There is always a cost to following Jesus. He said to take up your cross and follow me. There is a cost to following Jesus. And if there is no cost to your obedience to the Lord, then your relationship is very shallow. There's always a cost. And in 2 Corinthians 11:23-26, actually I start with verse 14. The Apostle Paul starts boasting about himself in the flesh and starts bragging about what he's had to go through in the Lord. In verse 18, it says, "Seeing that many are boasting according to the flesh, I'm going to also boast." So he starts talking about himself in verse 23, and it says, talking about these other people, "Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman." You know, he said, "Listen, I'm just letting you all know. I'm talking in the flesh here, but you need to know the truth." and with far greater labors. Can you say labors?
Labors.
Far more imprisonments.
Far more
say imprisonments.
Imprisonments.
With countless beatings.
Countless
beatings. And often near death. He goes on to say that 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. Can you imagine being beat 5 times? That was horrible. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift in the sea on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, and danger from false brothers. Ooh. This is huge. This man knew trials. This man knew heartaches. This man knew the cost of following King Jesus. And he paid them all. He paid them, the Bible says he paid them with joy and gratitude that he was able to suffer for the Lord. But this is why his prayers are so powerful. Paul had the same empowerment that each one of you do. In Acts 1:8, the Bible says that you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. The same Holy Spirit that the Apostle Paul had to endure all of this, you have the same Holy Spirit. That word power is dunamis. And beloved, that word dunamis means miracle working power. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and if you are speaking in other tongues, you have been baptized into miracles. Do you hear me? Miracles are your portion. You need to see and believe to see miracles all around you. That is God breaking in supernaturally into the common natural course of things around you. Do you hear me?
Yes.
What miracles are you looking for? What miracles are you looking for? It's time to begin to believe to see. I had a dream years ago. Years ago, I had a dream, and I saw the Father sitting in a big chair with a book, and it said miracles on it. And out of the book was shining light. And I heard the Father speak, and he said, "My people are afraid to open up the book of miracles." And at first, I didn't understand it, but now I do. We're afraid to open the book of miracles because we think our heavenly Father's like our earthly fathers. He's not. He is true to his word. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not return to me void." So I want to encourage you to begin to open the book of miracles. Believe God for miracles all around you. Paul prayed for spiritual power in Ephesians 3:14 through 21. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." Ephesians 3:14 through 21, verse 15, "From whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power." The Father is going to grant you to be strengthened with power, dunamos, through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How does Christ dwell in your hearts? Through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend. May have what? Strength to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, height, depth, to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you be filled with all the fullness fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far abundantly, exceedingly abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power, say power, at work in us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever. Amen. This is a prayer that you can pray over your life, over your family, every single day. Ephesians 3, that we would be granted to have strength, that by the riches of his glory, he would grant you strength and power through his spirit in your inner man. Now that is applicable to every situation in life. And don't forget to turn off your ringers. So, yes, I know. The dynamic, dunamis power of God is for doing and enduring. Can you say doing and enduring? And I want to challenge you that, like most of us, while you're enduring, keep doing. I have found that it's some of my most pivotal, painful moments, God's glory shines even more powerfully. When I have come to the end of myself in my sorrow or my sadness or my loss, God rises up and he makes himself known. For when we are weak, then is he made strong through us. Amen. Yes. So while you're enduring, don't stop doing. Do you hear me?
Yes.
So, but faith is not enough. David was amazing when he came up with this part of the notes. I love this. In Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working by love. So he's saying it's not enough just to have faith in God. But we need to be moved by the love of God, and only faith working through love. So faith works how? What's the power behind faith? It's love. Amen. So faith without love, David wrote this in the notes. I love this. Faith without love has no authority. Faith without love has no authority. You see, God is love. And he is the one that's backing your faith as you're moved by love. Because he is love. Amen. Now, he's the God of all faith, but it's the love that legitimizes your faith. Amen. It is the love of God that legitimizes your faith. For we know 1 Corinthians 13, and it talks about, you know, although I speak in tongues of men and angels, but I do not have love. I'm just a noisy, clanging brass. And if I have all prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. Amen. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned, but I have not love, I've gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Yes. Oh, my Jesus. All right. So I'm feeling really convicted now. All right. We need to read this to ourselves often. This is what love looks like. Okay. Lord Jesus, let your love reign in our hearts. Amen. So, love bears all things. Oh, let me go back up. It does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentment. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but it rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, and it never fails. As for prophecies, they're going to fade. They're going to pass away. And tongues and all revelation, it'll pass away because we're going to know even as we're known.
Yes.
But love will never fail. Yes. Love will never pass away. The power of God only flows through the conduit of love. The power of God only flows through the conduit of love. We have to be connected to him. John 5:15, he's the vine, we're the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. It all comes down to a relationship with God, because God is the source of everything.
Right.
I wanted to share one of my favorite prayers, because I pray this over myself. I remember, I believe it was James Gall who said he prayed this over himself every day. And I want to say it was possibly for 10 years. Okay. This is such a powerful prayer. Paul's prayers impart so much life because he lived them through the trials that he went through. He learned the power of God because he persevered. Amen.
Amen.
He endured. Amen.
Amen.
In Ephesians 1, in verse 15, it says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith." Oh, that's a good one, too. Verse 15. I like that one, too, though. "He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ." You know, I don't believe in accidents. I think that was God reminding y'all, you know, you're predestined. You're wanted. You're loved. You were wanted by God before time began. You were predestined to become his child with all the inheritance rights. We're not orphans anymore.
Thank you, Lord.
We're co-inheritors with Jesus Christ. You know, everything that Jesus has been given, we're grafted into in him.
Yes.
We rule and reign in him. The Bible says someday we're going to rule nations. Now, I was listening to a prophet the other day, and how many of you look back over your life and you've wondered, "Lord, am I ever going to fulfill that thing I saw in my youth?" Now the years have gone by, and I don't know if I'll be able to do it the way I saw it when I was young. And yet it still burns in your heart, because the Bible says God has put eternity in your heart. Why? Because, beloved, this is just the beginning. All those things I saw myself doing when I was 12 years old, I'm still going to do them.
Oh, Lord.
It's okay if I don't do them here. We have forever. We're going to rule nations. We're going to inherit kingdoms. Forever is a long time.
Amen.
Do you understand? Every dream you have in your heart that God put in there, you're going to do it forever. Those things that make you sing, all of the things you see yourself doing, the painting and riding horses and hiking mount whatever, and you know, all that stuff, and you're like, "There's no way I'm ever going to do that now." You will. You're going to do it.
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
But you're going to do it with a perfect body.
Yes.
A perfect mind.
Yes. Yes.
Perfect love.
Yes.
Perfect understanding.
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
In the millennial age, there'll be people that don't even know the Lord there. And the Bible says he's going to use us.
Lord.
We're going to be teaching and preaching. We're going to be sharing the word. Do you hear me?
Yes.
It's an amazing thing to know that, beloved, your dreams really do come true.
Amen.
Dreams really do come true.
Thank you.
Jesus put those dreams in us. It will happen. If not in this age, in the age to come. Nothing is lost. Nothing is stolen. And everything that looked like it was taken, it will be brought back in a new way. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Okay. Back to this prayer. Ephesians 1:15. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints." And your what towards the saints?
Your love.
See, now that you're walking in love, you're going to be able to walk in the rest of this. Do you understand me?
Yes.
When you learn to love, it's a gateway of inheritance that qualifies you for all the rest. Do you understand?
Yes.
And so it says, I do not stop giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Would you read this with me? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, what is it in the knowledge of? It's in the knowledge of him. What do you say, God? What are you showing me? What do you want me to say? What is your path and plan for me? It's all about him. It's not so that you can get wisdom and revelation just to be used for yourself, about yourself, to yourself, by yourself. No. Jesus, show me what you're saying. What do you want to say to me? What do you want to show me? Amen. And so read this with me. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope for which he has called you. Stop. The eyes of your heart enlightened. That means flooded with light, that you may know what is the hope for which he has called you. See, he says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, that of good and not evil, to give you a future and the hope. The Lord wants to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He wants to speak to you in dreams and visions. And in visions in the night, in dreams, and through the word, and share with you what he has called you to. And it goes on, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? I had to think long and hard over that for years. He wants to give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know what is the riches of his inheritance in the saints. Do you know that you are the inheritance of the Lord? Do you know when he died and rose again, you became his inheritance? And the spirit of wisdom and revelation is going to show you what riches you are. You are a treasure. You are a treasure trove of inheritance to the heart of our King. He inherited you when he rose from the dead. The Father gave you to him, a beautiful bride. Yes, yes. And you are his treasure.
Thank you.
Everything you have on the inside of you is his dowry. It's his inheritance. That's how valuable you are. If you were to come to King Jesus and you were to bring him the greatest and most wonderful treasure you had, nothing would be greater than yourself in his eyes, because you are his treasure. And so he will release, this prayer is that the Father would release to you revelation to know what inheritance you are. What is the Lord's inheritance in the saints? In verse 19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his what? Power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you. And God is releasing to you wisdom and revelation to know his power that is on the inside of you and being released from you. It is resurrection power. Say, resurrection power lives in me. And seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all.
Hallelujah.
So here's the deal. Who's the head of the body? Jesus is the head of the body. Who's the body of Christ?
We are.
So where's his feet? His feet are right here. And guess what? He has given us all dominion to put everything under his feet. Do you hear me? He's the head, we're the body, and now the Bible says through the power of revelation, you're going to understand that he's put all things under his feet and gave him his head over how many things? All things to the church. That's us, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Do you understand that as you take your place on the wall, do you understand, we're going to close with this, do you understand that as you take your place on the wall, that you are part of the body that nobody else can fill, that makes up the fullness of God in the world? Do you understand? So we want to go ahead and we want to acknowledge here today your place. And Debbie and I today, as we were praying, and many of others that came to pray this morning, again, I invite you to come at 9:30 to pray with us. We were acknowledging that today was a day of demarcation for Firepoint Church, that this is a day that people begin as never before to find their place on the wall and to fulfill what God's called them to do. That the things that were stolen from you, even in your destiny callings and even in the things that God's called you to do at Firepoint Church, God's restoring that now. This is a new day. This is a new day of accepting and saying yes to your divine identity and destiny in him. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and invite you to stand with me. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer to accept this revelation, to accept this wisdom by the Father. Amen. Would you repeat after me? And then I'll have you stand a little bit far more as we invite people into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And in fact, I think we'll do that first while you're standing there. Some of you, maybe you have no idea what this means to walk in a love relationship with God. Some of you are like, well, I'm not even following Jesus, but I want to. I want this eternity in my heart. I want to fulfill what I put on this planet to do. Maybe some of you have fallen this week or last week or whenever, and you're like, you're ready to do business with God and say, God, forgive me. Some of you are ready now to reach out to the hem of his garment and say, Jesus, heal me. I want to be restored. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to invite you right now to make a commitment to the one who holds your life in his hand and who loves you with an everlasting love. I want to invite you now to surrender everything and follow Jesus. I'm going to ask you now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you are ready to say, Jesus, yes, I want to follow you. I surrender everything to you. I want you to raise your hand right now. No one looking around. Raise your hand. Nobody looking around. Raise your hand. I see that. I see those hands, and the Lord sees that, and you can put your hands down. Now I'm going to lead you all in a prayer. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus,
Father, in the name of Jesus,
I thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that I'm a child of the Most High God. Washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me for every way I have sinned, I've made wrong choices, and I've not walked in love. Forgive me, God. Change my heart. Jesus, I follow you from this day on. Amen. Now, as you're standing there, I want to lead you in another prayer here. And I want you to say yes and amen to the power of God that's released in your life now. Do you hear me? You're not going to go out the way you came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you.
I thank you
that you have released within me. the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and the knowledge of you. I ask, Father, that my eyes will be flooded with light, that I will know what is the hope of your calling, and what is your riches in me. For I am your inheritance. Show me the greatness of your power. The same power that you worked when you rose Jesus from the dead. I acknowledge now that Jesus, you are the head of the church. And you have given me all power and authority and dominion as your body. In your name. To put everything under your feet. So I say yes and amen, Lord. You are the King of Kings.